Parshas Chaye Sara. I remember years ago when I was in Tor Vadas, Chaye Sara, the whole community came to Tor Vadas to hear of Pam speak about the Parsha of Shiduchim. It was a big event. It wasn't so long ago in Tor Vadas. It was a big event. It was Friday, Erev Shabbos, Parshas Chaye Sara. They had to move the shir to the Beis Medrash because so many people came. Yes, I was there. I was in the shir. What? Other people, it was recorded. Other people record. They wrote it up. It's all everything that he ever said about Shiduchim was written up. In Sfarim. They have everything he said was written up. So it was a big event. Erev Shabbos Parshas Chaye Sara. It sticks in my mind. Those were very, very good days. Today are also good days. Okay, but before we get, I want first to discuss current events. Okay, let's one vart. Lezecha Nishmas, the Kedoshim who died this week in Pittsburgh.
And tomorrow is the Yahrzeit of the Har Nof.
Tomorrow is the Har Nof. It's exactly what I want to speak about. Exactly. I didn't know that. I didn't realize it. Tomorrow is the Yahrzeit. A couple of years ago, how many years ago was it?
4 years
ago. 4 years ago, there was a massacre in Eretz Yisrael, in Har Nof.
Oh, yeah.
There were four or five people. A fifth person was nifted subsequently due to his injuries. Not that much later. And the collateral damage is beyond description. We all remember 4 years ago there was a massacre that took place in Har Nof in the Beis HaKnesses. The people were in the middle of davening, the silent Shemona Esrei. Some would sing Shema. And it was a horrific, horrific tragedy. It shook up the whole Klal Yisrael. The people who were killed, one of the Kedoshim was none other than Vitorsky, the grandson of Rav Yosher Ber Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And besides, from his mother's side, he had the Yichus from his father's side. I don't remember all the details, but
we were dealing
with a story, a situation where it was in Eretz Yisrael. They were in the middle of davening. They were Oymei Lefnei HaMelech. These were people who were the real deal. It does not get more real than this. Rabbi Tversky, he went to mikveh that morning. He didn't go to mikveh every morning. That particular morning, he went to mikveh. And the Oymei Lefnei HaMelech, these were Kedoshim, Utahorim, Kizoya Harekia Masirim, literally. And it's just beyond description. What happened? How such a thing like this can happen in Eretz Yisrael, in this day and age, to such people who have zuchus avos, who have their own zuchusim.
What happened was an earthquake.
The massacre in Har Nof, the Har Nof massacre that occurred 4 years ago. This week there was a massacre that took place in Pittsburgh. 11 people. I don't have all the details. I didn't get even a chance to go through all the details, but the basic sketches. Person, a bit deranged, walks into a Beis HaKnesses in Pittsburgh, and massacres, says all the Jews have to die. As someone sent me a text yesterday, he didn't say all Chabad Jews have to die, all Satmar Jews have to die, all Reform Jews have to die, all Hasidic Jews, all Litvish Jews. He said all Jews have to die. And he murdered in cold blood 11 people. Now, two different stories, 4 years apart. Almost 4 years apart, the same time of the year when many observe the anniversary of Kristallnacht. This year it's the 80th anniversary of Kristallnacht. Two different shuls, two different parts of the world. They're similar in many respects, but unfortunately, there is a problem that we all have, including myself. I'm not any different. That when we look at these individuals in Pittsburgh, we don't have the same sympathy, the same emotion as what happened 4 years ago in Har Nof. I remember the morning after the massacre, people were literally in disbelief. They could not believe what happened. The shock, it took days just to get over the shock. And then, what does this mean? And all of the asifos, all of the hespedim, and it's still going on. It's still going on. And the exact same thing happened in Pittsburgh. People have come to a place to be oimed lifnei Hashem, in the Makom Miyuchad, and they were murdered. They were murdered just for being Jews, being Oymed Lefnei Hashem. Now, unfortunately, the people who were murdered in Pittsburgh were not necessarily on the level of Shomrei Torah and Mitzvot as we would like. Okay, I don't have to go into all the details. You all know some of the details. They were Jews. This was not an Orthodox synagogue. And the people who davened there were involved in things that are not 100% in line with Orthodox Judaism, and things which, in fact, not only they're not in line, which antagonate many other Orthodox Jews. Okay. But a Jew is a Jew. A Jew is a Jew. And the obligation to be shaken to the core, equal to what happened in Har Nof, is 100%. It's the same. There's no difference. There's no difference. They were killed because they were Jews in a makom that was meyuchad for tefillah. Their matzav, their spiritual matzav, most of the time is not held against them. We are not permitted in any shape or form to judge anyone whatsoever. Hashem is the only one who knows. Hashem is the only one who is the true judge to judge another person on their avodas Hashem. These are people that were brought up not knowing any different, any better. There's nothing even to discuss. I don't have to go that way. The only thing I want to say is that this is alluded to, I believe, just saying over an idea, in the beginning of this week's parasha. It says in this week's parasha, Vayavoy Avraham Lispoid Lissara Veliv Koisa. The parasha begins with a tragedy. The Petira of Sarah Imenu. The mother of Klal Yisrael, the matriarch. There was Sarah, who, you know what Sarah Imenu was? Can we even begin to fathom who Sarah Imenu was? And the parasha begins with her Petira. But the pasuk says, Avraham came, by Yochum Avraham Yal Penei Meisa, that's before baby, but Avraham comes to cry, Lissara, the Livkoisa, to eulogize Sarah and to cry for her. In the word in the parasha, v'liv kaisa, there is a small chaf. A chaf zi'ira. And the commentators are intrigued, why in the Torah is there a small chaf? And the answer they allude to is, they one of the many answers, we know that later in the parasha it says, v'Avraham zokein, v'Hashem beirach es Avraham bakol. So the Gemara Masech of Basha tells us, what does it mean Hashem bless Avraham Bakoil? Bas hoyu loyli Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu had a daughter. Believe it or not, he had a daughter. And what was his daughter's name? Bakoil. That was her name. What happened to her? What happened to this daughter? We have no idea. We have no idea because, as the Ramban discusses, was it a bracha to Avraham that he had a daughter, or was it a klola that he had a daughter? Why would you say that it's not a blessing for Avraham Avinu to have a daughter? Who would she marry? Today, in those days was not like today. Today, a girl gets married, so even if she does not marry a person, that's 100%. She is under the influence of her community, of her parents, of her siblings. There's always hope. There's always hope that something good will come, even if she marries two people that are not, marries someone that's not ideal. But in the time of ancient times, a woman was 100% under the control and influence of her husband. Avraham was Avraham HaIvri. He was on one side of the world and everyone else disagreed with him. There was absolutely no one for Avraham Avinu to give his daughter in marriage. Whoever he would give his daughter in marriage, that man would control, would influence his daughter. And she would adapt to his ideology. And that would be a very, very great tragedy for Avraham Avinu. So according to one opinion, the Ramban presents both of these opinions. Ramban says it was not a good thing that Avraham Avinu had a daughter because his daughter would be stuck. There would not be anyone for her to marry and live a life of Yadus, to live a life and go in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Do not that possibility would not exist, and it would be just a very great tsar for Avraham Avinu. On the other hand, Ramban says maybe it was a blessing because a parent should experience what it's like to have a daughter. And we don't really know what happened to his daughter. Maybe things worked out well. We don't really know the difference. On the Tzaddah, I saw it. I tried today to find the source for this, and I did not succeed. I think I know where it is. I don't have the sefer with me here. I have it at home. But I think, but even that sefer doesn't really have the correct, it's really more of a Jewish, it's not necessarily the correct, it has the sources. But I remember hearing this, it always rings in my mind. Chazal darshan by Avoy Avraham lispoid lisara v'liv kaiso. Whenever you have a small letter, the Torah is telling you to read the word of the pasuk as if the letter does not exist. Delete the letter from the pasuk.
It's like v'yikra.
V'yikar. And thus, if you take out the cha from the word v'liv kaiso, it reads v'yavoy Avraham lispoid lisara u'libita. Avram Avinu, he came to eulogize his wife Sarah and his daughter Ula Bita. Why Bita? I believe there's a Chazal that says on the tzad that Avram Avinu on the side that Avram Avinu indeed did have a daughter. The Hashem Beirach es Avraham Bakol. Avraham had a daughter. It's a Gemara Bava Basra that means Tzvav Tzayin Bava Basra. He had a daughter and her name was Bakol. What happened to her? I believe there's a Chazal that says that at the same time when Sarah Imenu was Nifter, his daughter was Nifter. And the reason why his daughter was Nifter, Hashem took her, we don't know why, we don't understand, but part of the understanding that's all, you know, just talk, is that it was for her benefit, it was for the benefit of Avraham Avinu, because there was no one for her to marry. Because she would have been stuck in a world of nothing. It only was Avraham. And therefore, Hashem gave Avram the pleasure of having a daughter to be mashpi upon, and it came time when Sarah Imenu, when she was nifter, his daughter was nifter. So now Avram Avinu came to cry for Sarah, vayavayav lispoid lissarah ulibita. He cried for his daughter as well. Rabbi Sai, what became of his daughter? Let's assume that he cried for his daughter. She didn't die. She married whoever was available. Ancient times. She married. Well, what could she possibly do in those days? Who was there for her to marry? The Goyim, the Canaanim. So, and Avraham Avinu. What?
Yitzhak,
the wife of Yitzhak, is under his influence. Whoever Yitzhak marries, it's his hashpah. That's why my hakdama. It's hard to appreciate this in the modern day and age. Because in the modern day and age, there's no real, you can't say that when you marry someone, you're under their influence. We have a community, we have parents, we have a society, we have an entire klal yisrael. You can't say such a thing in bizman hazeh. But we have to understand in ancient times it wasn't like that. When a person got married, you are under the influence of your husband. When Rachel and Leah married Yaakov Avinu, even if Rachel and Leah would not have been on their own righteous people, just the fact that they would marry Yaakov Avinu, that would make them righteous. Because that's the way the world was. When you get married, you're under the influence of your husband, not the other way around. If Bakol, this daughter of Avraham Avinu, would marry, she had him, let's assume she married someone. But Avraham Avinu cried for her because she was lost from Klal Yisrael. Because of circumstance that there is just no one for her to marry. The Ramban says this. I'm telling you the Ramban, I'm not making this up. The Ramban says there was no one for her to marry. She's going to marry the Canaanim. So let's assume what this means of Yavayav, V'liv Kaisa is a small chaf. Read it as if the chaf does not exist. Vayavay Avraham, Lisboid Lissaro, Ulibita. Why was he crying for his daughter? Because she disappeared from Klal Yisrael. Because she had no choice but to marry a non-Jew, and she became part of that society, and Avraham Avinu's hashpa, my daughter, was lost. But yet, he cried for her. The contrast, the two massacres.
Maybe when someone marries
a guy, Sid Shiva, it's the Makar, you Sid Shiva. Okay, that was done in ancient, that was done not so long ago. Today they don't do that, but that in a Hanami. So I'm just trying to say as follows. We started by saying,
it just doesn't happen.
Rahman al-Utslan, should never happen. But let's now explain the point I want to make. We have here, there are two massacres that have occurred in this time of the year. 4 years ago, the massacre in Har Noif. In Eretz Yisrael, the people that were killed were kedoshim utahirim miyuchasim. It shook us all up. 4 years later, came out the same time of the year in Pittsburgh, a massacre in the Beis HaKnesses. 11 people died because they were Jews. Their observance is not something that we're proud of. Okay, no secrets. We're not proud of their degree of observance. But they're Jews. They're Jews. Avraham Avinu, in this pasuk, cried for both type of Jews. He cried for the greatest of the great. No one was greater than Sari Meinu. You're not going to show me anyone greater than Sari Meinu. And Ulabita, what became of her? Avraham Avinu had a good daughter, Bako. What happened to her? What do we have from her today? Nothing. Why? Is it her fault? The Ramban says it wasn't her fault. The Ramban says there was no one to marry. What do you expect? Why did Hashem give Avraham Avinu this nisayon that he had a daughter and had no choice and no one for her to marry? What happened to her? We don't know. It's not her fault. Tina, like just like these kedoshim in Pittsburgh, were not proud of their degree of observance, but it's not their fault. This is the mitzias. This is a tragedy of galus. Maybe it's our fault that we have not done enough to bring them to be mekar them tachas kanfei hashchina. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter one bit. The tragedies are the same. Avraham cried l'sara, the greatest of the great, and he cried ulabita, a person that did not stand a fighting chance. She also died. She also had pain. She also suffered. And it was his daughter. She was the daughter of Avraham Avinu. The people in Pittsburgh are the children of Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. And it doesn't make a difference whether you're in Eretz Yisrael, in Har Noif, in the Beis HaKnesses, standing a Shmone Esrei with talis and tefillin, and having gone to the mikvah, and coming from the greatest yichus, or Rachmana Litzlan, people in Pittsburgh who are mamish, the other end of the spectrum. Vayavoy Avraham lispoid lisarah ulibita. It doesn't make a difference. It should shake us up the same way what happened in Harno 4 years ago. There's no difference whatsoever. It is a tragedy. It is a wake-up call to do teshuva. We just spent these whole last 2 days going through what it says in Amos. Six examples. Don't think anything in this world happens b'nikra. Everything in this world happens because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to us, is calling the shots. He is showing the Yad Hashem to inspire us to do teshuva. We have to remember this. Vayovay Avraham l'spoid l'sarah v'liv kaysa chav z'ira al tikri v'liv kaysa ela ulibita bakol. It's all the same. Okay, the next idea. Next idea I want to express also in the Yom Yoma. At night I go to a Shir Adai Daf Yomi, and I have here, he actually said Shidi is a very, very, very chosh of a person by the name of Rabbi Yisrael Lehman. And when I was in Eretz Yisrael a couple of months ago, he gave a shir one day here for you, yeah, in the morning, Rabbi Yisrael Lehman.
Erev Shabbos, yeah.
Brilliant, brilliant fellow. Very big Talmud Chacham. Very, very good, good person. And he's married to a brilliant woman. Her name is Sara Lehman. That's his wife. That's her name, Sara. Her last name, she had the name of her husband. She used to write for the Jewish press. She has a column in the Jewish press. And now, I believe, she writes for the Hamodia newspaper. So she switched. Michal, you're familiar with her. She's a brilliant woman.
I've read her column.
And she writes extremely well. Very, 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 very brilliant woman. Very has an analysis on current events. She conducts interviews with all of the big politicians and big people, the movers and shakers of society. She is very familiar with, and she conducts interviews. So she wrote a piece this week, and it mentions a lot of things, but it was one paragraph that caught my attention, and it's very, very relevant. And I believe that it's in the parsha what this idea that she mentioned in the article, and that is Let me just give it to you from my point of view, my angle. Now, my angle is a terrible tragedy happened in Eretz Yisrael, and then in Pittsburgh. I don't see, people are very disturbed. There are people that are very shaken up. But I don't see people, Baruch Hashem, afraid for their own lives. I don't see that. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we should be. We're shaken up. It's a tragedy. We have to deal with it on a spiritual level, without question. We have to also take into consideration what we should do to enhance our own security for Bati Kinesius, Bati Midrashis. But I don't see people sittering and going into their basements and saying, uh-oh, I'm next. I'm on the list. I'm the next target. I don't know what I'm going to do. I have to diversify my portfolio, send my children out of the country, go here, go there. I don't see people running away from this country at this moment in response to this horrible, horrific tragedy. Why not? And it's very, very true. Don't deny this to be true. And this is really what she wrote in the article, is because today, well, let's take a step back. Let us say, for argument's sake, this happened when we were back in Poland. Many of here of us come from Poland, come from Russia, come from Hungary. If the same exact story would have happened, and it did happen, boy, did it happen. Okay, it only happened a billion times over. So when it happened, what happened? What was the natural jerk reaction when it happened? Not so long ago in Poland and all the and Russia and Czechoslovakia and v'chulu v'chulu. We're next. We're in trouble. If this happened only a couple of miles away, hop, skip, and a jump from here, we're next. And people began to shake in their pants. How come now, today, in modern America, Tov Shin Ayin test, no one's shaking. And the answer is, and this is true whether you like it or not, is because today the difference between then and now is, today there is a Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. It's a fact. Whether there should be, there shouldn't be, whatever side of the spectrum you fall on, whatever, not going to Chas V'Shalom. The fact, the reality is, we were born, most of us were born, not everyone here, but some of us were born into a world where there is an established Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. There's a government. It is legitimate. The United Nations have given it legitimacy. And there is a Yishuv, and there is an army, and there are politicians, and there are weapons, and there is someone to deal with, someone to contend with. And we know in the back of our minds, if things really get bad, we have a place to go. And they'll take us, no matter how much Lashon Hara we say about them, no matter how nasty we are to them, we know in the back of our minds, they'll still take us in. They'll still protect us. And we know that they're going to start screaming. They're not going to tolerate this nonsense. They're going to make statements. And the government and society has to deal with them. When this tragedy happens, there's a balabas. It may not be our hashkafa, may not be this, may not be that, but there's someone to contend with. And only because, don't fool yourself, no matter how religious, no matter how, whatever side of the spectrum you find yourself, don't fool yourself in not having comfort in the fact there's Ribbono Shel Olam. There's no question. Hakol bidei shamayim. But haneg bohem minog derech eretz. Don't deny the fact that there's a real world out there. And in the real world, you have to deal, you have to do things to protect yourself. The fact that there is a thriving, healthy place in this world that we call Eretz Yisrael, a yishuv in Eretz Yisrael, we feel secure, we feel nechama, we feel comfort, we feel strength, we feel we have a mahalich, we have to go about our way of doing tshuva, but we have a mahalich, and it gives us peace of mind. Do you know what a bracha this is? Do we have any hasaga what a blessing this is?
Maybe it's not a blessing.
Why is it not a blessing? How could you say such a thing? It's not a blessing.
You see, by Mordechai and
you put koichi v'oitzem yadi ofes achayel azeh.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't ask for tzar. You don't. When Hashem wants to send you a message, let's not go there. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
I disagree. I respectfully disagree. I think it's what you're saying. There's truth to what you're saying.
I think what you're saying is also true.
There's truth to what you're saying, but you don't lechatchila put yourself in a matziv of I should suffer. It's unheard of. You don't go. You know, I might as well go on an airplane and jump off the airplane in the middle of the Atlantic. Open up the door, jump out of the parachute, and have a little inflatable raft. Oh, Ribbono Shel Olam, save me! Now I see the Yad Hashem. I'm here in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, and there's only me and you, Hashem. I need your help. You don't jump off the plane to put yourself in that matzav. If the Ribbono Shel Olam brings it upon you, he brought it upon me. What could I do? The plane ran out of fuel, and we crashed in the middle of the Atlantic. I'm on a raft. I'm on a life raft for my life. So nu, Ribbono Shel Olam. But do you go open up the door and jump into the raft? You don't lechatchila put yourself in a matzav where Hashem, I need you. You don't do that. If it happens, it happens. So Baruch Hashem, Hashem did not cause us this pain, which is a pain that we would have suffered not that long ago. Not that long ago, if the same exact thing would have happened, we would have suffered. I mean, we're not involved in making it or breaking it. We didn't do it. It exists. And we're not talking about should not. This is the matzav. Years ago, we would have suffered enormously from this. Today we wake up, the next day, it's a tragedy. We have to do tshuva, we have Rabban, we have Gedolei Yisrael, have a derech of doing tshuva, what this means to do tshuva. We have to do tshuva, there's nothing to talk about. But Baruch, the pain that has been taken away from us. Why? Because Hashem, for us, brought us into a world where there is an Eretz Yisrael that is a nechama. There are problems, I'm not going into all the sensitivities. Can't deny that. And that's a tremendous baracha which has to be recognized. And part of the process of doing teshuva is to recognize the nechama, the safety net that the Ribbono Shel Olam has given shomrei Torah mitzvos also in this world. Okay? There's something to be said. Don't make light of this. It's an extreme thing what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, but it's still extreme. At least that's how I feel. It hit me when I read the parasha. This is exactly what happened in this parasha. Look at this parasha. Sari Menu died. Why did she die? First Rashi in the parasha. Why did she die? Lekach nichtav. Well, it's the second Rashi. The second Rashi. The Kiryas Arba. Lisboy Lesara. A little bit further down. V'nismucha misa Sara la'akedas Yitzchak. Lefi she'al yidei b'soiras ho'akeda shenizdamin b'no l'shchita. When she heard that her Ben Yochid, Yitzchak, was that close to losing his life at the Akedah, Parcha Nishmas. Now, there's a lot of Torah on this. We're not going there. The bottom line is, Sara Imenu was the collateral damage of the Akedah. Yitzchak survived, but Sara did not. What is the Akedah? The Akedah is the shoresh of the root. Every time we hear a Jew dies, Al Kiddush Hashem, it takes us back to the Akedah. The Akedah, Hashem said to Avraham Avinu, I want you to give me your son, the life of your son, for Kiddush Hashem. Yitzchak was told that he should die Al Kiddush Hashem, and he accepted it. He accepted to die Al Kiddush Hashem. He died because he was a Jew. Hashem says, this is what I want. I want there to be, you'll never understand what the reason is. There's going to be Misa Kiddush Hashem. Kachmas Binchas Yichidash Hadar Sisek V'lech Lecha. He happened to get lucky. Okay, he happened to get lucky that he did not actually die because the Malach came at the very last moment, but it was as if he died. Efrei Shel Yitzchak Tzavru Lefanov. Ato Yodati. Every time, all of the Kedoshim in the Holocaust who died Al Kiddush Hashem are rooted in the Akedah. The same way that Yitzchak was willing to give up his life Al Kiddush Hashem, and Avraham Avinu was willing to give up his life Al Kiddush Hashem, and to say Ani Mamin Be'Emuna Shleima, to give up your life, this is Kiddush Hashem. This is, I'm telling you, Devarim Pshutim Ad Mod now. Yitzchak did not die, but Sara died. Sara is an extension of the collateral damage She died because of the Akedah of what is practical of what it means to die al Kiddush Hashem. Correct? It's all connected. What was the very first thing Avraham Avinu did after Sarai Menu died? Vayokom Avraham Yal Pnei Meso, Vayidaber El Bnei Ches Lemar. I want to purchase land in Eretz Yisrael. I want to buy them Aras HaMachpel. And they don't want to give it to him. They give him a hard time. And the end of the day was, he had to pay an enormous amount of money. He could have went a couple of meters from them, Aras Machpelah, on the road and buried her for free. He didn't have to go to Aras Machpelah. He could have gone somewhere. And years later, Avram told him, you know, the time anyway is going to come when we're going to conquer the land, it'll become mine. And then he'll reinter her, the Klal Yisrael, his descendants, will reinter in the Aras Machpelah, all the Kedusha, what the Aras Machpelah is all about. In the meantime, you don't have to buy the Aras Machpelah, the Sodeh, and the Eitz, the whole Hebron. He didn't need it. He didn't need to buy the whole land. He could have taken it to the road. He could have gone here. He could have gone there. There are many solutions he could have found to bury Sarai Imenu, or not even bury her, that would have been fine. But no. He wanted to own legally the land. I have to acquire the land of Eretz Yisrael for an astronomical amount of money of a keen in the land. What is the Muslim? What is the message? The Nechama of Kiddush Hashem, when there's a tragedy in history of Kiddush Hashem, Avraham Avinu said, gave Klal Yisrael Nechama. You know what the Nechama is? Exactly what happened this week. The same reason why no one in America over here is sittering. And it's only because, don't lie about this, only because you know in the back of your mind, there are people to contend with. There's an Eretz Yisrael we can escape. There's an escape route. There's an escape hatch. They'll take us. Even though we're so nasty, they'll take us. And they're going to fight for us. Even though, Adarabba, you know, you have to have a moon and a Kaddish Baruch Hu. That's right. You have to have both. You're not going to have a shtablus. You can't go tell me the miracle's going to happen. You have to do both. Avraham Avinu did exactly that. He acquired land. He took possession of Eretz Yisrael for an astronomical, because that is the Nechama. If you have a mug, since the Akedah is the essence of death al Kiddush Hashem, where is their Nechama when people are persecuting us to die because we're Jews? They can't deal with the Jew. They have to exterminate the Jews from the world. Where will we find Nechama? Avraham Avinu saw this was a dogma of Kiddush Hashem. Where will my children be able to find Nechama? You have to have Eretz Yisrael. You have to have a makom of your own. Don't just be wanderers in the world. If you're wanderers in the world, you're going to go to the road here, go to the road there, go to the road there. They'll come get you. They'll find you. They'll chase after you. If you have a place you can call home that's yours, that is a nechama. It's my property. Get lost. Leave me alone. Don't come and harm me. Don't leave me alone. I have a right to defend myself in this little makom. Isn't that what it says here in the parasha? Isn't that a lesson? We know that it's true because we've experienced it this week. And we know that our ancestors, they experienced the opposite when exactly the same thing happened. Kristallnacht happened. Where are we going to go now? Who wants us? They destroyed all the shuls. Where are we going to go? There's nowhere to go. The pachad is pachad pachadim. Of course, you have to have a munah kodesh baruch hu, but you got to do a shtalus. I'm not on a madrega of only a munah. I'm sorry. You have to do some shtalus also. You have to do something. You have a place to go. Oh, you have a place to go. Avraham Avinu, he experienced Kiddush Hashem. Sari Imenu, even though technically you'll tell me that's not exactly what the story is, but Chazal clearly say that the roots of dawn al Kiddush Hashem is the Akedah. Sarai Imenu was the victim of the Kiddush Hashem to the Shurish. And what's the first thing? I'm not going to bury her on the road. I'm not going to settle for anything for the future. Hashem will give me the land later in a couple of years from now when Klal Yisrael will come into land. I want it now. I need a place I call home. You want $3 million? They say the estimate is about $3-4 million. That's how much he paid for a cave.
Yeah, that's what
astronomical. You take the cheshbonos. It's a very powerful Musar Haskel in Yoni de Hafeich Ba Hafeich Ba Dekula Ba, and the message for us is Eretz Yisrael is the hottest topic in the world. Should there, should it not be, blah, 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 blah. The bottom line is, as many Gedolim say, for us who are born in this world at a later point in time, it's not our issue anymore. We don't have a choice. It is what it is. Already, that's for the Gedolim of the previous generations in Shemayim to talk about should not. We already have it. What you have appreciate. And whatever you could improve, improve. Whatever you can't improve, no. So there are a lot of things in this world, there are a lot of problems in this world that you can't improve. But don't be a boyet. Don't be ungrateful to the fact that for us it is a gift. It is a makom. It is a source of comfort. It is a source of stability. It is a source of bracha. And there's nothing more to discuss. Issues, there are always going to be issues. That's how it is. But it's not something to make light of, and it's a powerful lesson, the connection between the Akeda and the Kinyan of Avraham Avinu of the Ma'aras Machpelah. Yeah.
Three of the major cities that we keep on fighting over.
It's Hebron and Yerushalayim. All the place that we paid for. All the place that we bought are the place that's the hottest places. Okay, that's a separate, whole separate. Chai Sara, Merzach Pes, it's a big Shabbos. Big Shabbos. The whole place there is rocking. Rocking. I used to listen to Jame in the AM. Nachum Siegel. The whole week was building up.
In the mornings.
In the morning, building up to what's going on. I think he used to broadcast from there. He would broadcast from Hebron in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, let's now go to another idea. Let's discuss a little bit about Shiduchim. Okay, Eliezer, who was the one who was appointed to be the shatchan for Avraham Avinu? Eliezer, the Avraham Zaken by Mashem Ben Echazam Rakol, and what happens? Vayom Avraham El Avdoi, Zekan Ve'Soham Moishel B'chol HaShalo, Eliezer, Sim No Yod Chatach HaSirechi. Why Eliezer? Why? There are so many good shatchanim out there. Why? Why was Eliezer appointed to be the shatchan for Yitzchak Avinu? What about Oner Eshkol Mamre? Avraham Avinu had friends. He had a friend Oner Eshkol Mamre. Avraham Avinu, he had another son Yishmael. Why wasn't he the shatchan? He did tshuva. He did tshuva b'tzav yomav, and he trusted Eliezer. Eliezer is ato arur. He called him cursed. Can you imagine? Before he left, what was the last thing he said to him? Avram, why do I have to go to travel to Aram Naharayim? Such a long trip. I have a daughter. There's a girl right here next door. Next door, there's a nice young lady. She's my daughter. She goes to Beis Yaakov. She knows that. You know her. You grew up. There are no secrets. She went to all the right seminaries. Everything is fine and good. Avram, so what does Avram say to Eliezer? Ata Arur. You're a cursed person. Isn't that a nice thing to say to the Shatchan? You're a cursed person. And I'm blessed. The Ein Arur Mistabek Bibaruch. What kind of talk is that? Go get me a shlich for my son.
So it's a simple shot. How come Avram, he told him the truth, but he
accepted it. Well, it's a Pella, right? It's a Pella. Yeah. So that's how you talk to the Shatchan. So a person is only human. I'll take revenge. Boy, will I set up your son? Boy, you don't want my daughter. I'll set up your son. He had negius. You know, he had his own negius. Eli, Ulai. And he's called cursed. He's not the right person. He has negius.
It's not necessarily personal. It's the fact that
everything is personal in this world. When it comes to shidduchim, it comes to money. Everything is very personal.
The bottom line was, what did he say? Ulai.
Later on, Eli to me, I wanted her.
This is what you're getting.
He had negios. He had negios. He was insulted and he said, Eli, I have my own daughter. He had negios. If you have negios, you have to recuse yourself. What in the world is going on? Is the only person in the world?
That was the reason why he was chosen. He calls himself Eben Avram. His name is not even mentioned in the whole parsha.
Today, if you go to court, and the judge is your relative, the judge has negios, you're out. It's scandalous. You cannot be a judge. Don't say, oh, I overcame Adarab. I'm going to go the opposite and go the other way around. It doesn't work like that. The bottom line is you have your own negios. I have a daughter. I asked you, please take my daughter. I'm going to try to make it work out that all of the shidduchim do not work out, so you should end up marrying, you should marry my daughter. And he would say to him, and he insulted him, oh, you don't want to take my daughter? Boy, will I set up Yitzhak with a machashefa you never saw before? He has negiyos! Haloi Dovar, what is going on over here? And you're going to tell him, oh, there's no one else? Come on, there's always someone else. There's always people we can find. Let Oig Melech HaBashan, he was a tall guy, he saw everything. Let him be the Shatran. There are plenty of people out there to be the Shatran. So here's the answer. I'll give you a mashal. This made an impression upon me many, many years ago. I was sitting at a wedding with one of my relatives, a very, very fine person. And someone came over to him and said to him, I want to read you a shidduch. He was a very nice boy, very fine boy. And he already has been dating for a period of time. And he was very, very well adjusted into the shidduch scene. And someone came to him and said, I want to read you a shidduch. And a person, that's a stranger, a person just walks over to him, who's a stranger, I heard about you, I want to read you a shidduch. So he says to him, thank you very much, it was very pleasant. You know, at this point, I only really take shidduchim for my family. Baruch Hashem, I have a nice family, I have siblings, and I have this and that. He has to talk a big family, that's all. And they read shidduchim, and I take from them because, you know, they know me very well, and when they read me shidduchim, they usually know the girl. Not that it's true, you never know. Shidduchim, you never know. May I in Yavoi Ezri, you never know. But he said, you know, at this time already, and it made an impression on me. Why did it make an impression on me? Because he said to them, they're my family, and I'm doing my ishtadlus, and I have a whole team behind me. They know me. They know who I am. They know my essence. They I grew up with them. They understand me.
You finally read the shidduch.
Whatever it is. they understand me. As we said, they understand me, and they're not going to just read me a shidduch from left field that has no chance. You never know. You never know. Okay, obviously, that's not a good answer in all situations, but the way he said it, at the time of his life, it made an impression upon me. And when I was preparing the parish, that really struck me when it comes to Eliezer. Who was Eliezer? I want to see his shidduch resume. Who was Eliezer? Eliezer was the son of, or the machloikis, either the son or the servant of, guess who? You'll never guess.
Nimrod.
Eliezer was present when Nimrod said to Avram, Avram, we're going to throw you into the furnace. Unless you bow down to me or my idols, I'm going to throw you into the Kivshan Ha'esh. And Avram said, so be it. I believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam to the degree where I'm willing to give up my life for the Ribbono Shel Olam. And Eliezer, he didn't think for a second he would be saved. And Nimrod, Eliezer was the son of Nimrod, was standing right there and was watching this story. Look at what's going on here. My father told this man, bow down to me or I'll kill you. And Avram says, I don't believe in you. I believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam. And I'm not going to bow down to you no matter what. I'll kill you. So kill me. And they picked him up. They threw him to the Kivshan Ha'esh. And this little boy, Eliezer, is watching this. Do you know what an impression it made on Eliezer? To see a person for the first time in the history of the world give up his life, al kiddush Hashem. When Avram came out of the furnace alive, everyone was shaken up. And Nimrod was shaken up. And it says in Pirkei the Rebbe Eliezer that he gave his son or his servant, machloikis was it his son or his servant, as a gift to Avraham. Basically, you could say he was damaged goods. That's why. Once he saw the miracle, he no longer believed in Nimrod. He believed in Avraham. He gave Eliezer as a gift to Avraham. He's your servant. What else did Eliezer witness in his life? Avraham was sitting in his eshel. He got a report that Lot was taken hostage. So Avraham Avinu, he calls up his special forces. His special forces. And they say, the Medrash says he had 300 special forces. And the special forces, they reviewed, we have to go on a mission to rescue the hostage Lot. And the special force reviewed the plan. They said, Avram, this is a suicidal mission. We're not going. We're not going. We don't care. It says in the Medrash, Tiberi Lezer. There's only one person that said, I'm going. Eliezer. He went, why? Obviously, because he knew what Avram was doing, was all about, because he saw him jump in the Kivshan Ha'esh. He went, okay, they went, four kings, five kings, he won. At the end, they won the victory celebration. All the kings came out to greet him. Bayetze Melech Sadoim came out, and Malkit Seder came out, and they start talking to Avram, and it's all very pleasant and nice. Baruch Avram, Baruch Kel Elyon, and then they get nasty. Tein li hanefesh. Avram, you're the victor. Give back all the people. V'achush kach, and you can take all the money for yourself. Avram Avinu stands up. It's on CNN live. The whole world is watching. That's how you talk to me. In michut v'atzeroich nal in ekach mikol asherlach. I don't want a penny from you. Money, can you imagine that? I don't want a penny from you. The Kiddush Hashem that Avram Avinu made was not to be believed. And who was standing there watching this live, right in front of his eyes unfolding? Eliezer. If there's one person in this world who understood the Beisoy Shel Avraham, the home of Avraham Avinu, and his values, his beliefs, it was Eliezer. No one else really understood Avraham Avinu because no one saw him, no one lived, no one witnessed these things. They didn't have videos. They heard he's ain't doime shemiel l'riya. When Avraham needs to find a shatran for Yitzchak, you go to call up a shatran. Oh, you have a boy. Tell me about the boy. Well, he's suicidal, right? He was willing to go on the Akedah, and now he went for therapy in a koilel for 3 years. Really? Suicidal. He's learning, doesn't have parnasa. He's in a koilel. What? He's in a koilel, and he's suicidal. I think I can find a girl for him. I think I know what he needs. I have a girl for him. That's what a shatran would say. Yeah, this is Yitzchak. I read your shidduch profile. Okay, I'll find you a shidduch. Does the shatran really understand who Yitzchak is? Does he understand the home that Yitzchak came from? No way. Any shatran in the world doesn't stand a chance to being successful in matching up Yitzchak with any girl. The only one that stands a fighting chance to appreciate who this person is, where they come from, is Eliezer. Because Eliezer was an eyewitness to Avram being thrown into the Kivshan Oesh. Eliezer was an eyewitness to the Milchama where Avram Avinu, he went, the loyalty he had to his family, to go on a suicide mission to save his nephew. He had the eyewitness to see where he can say to the kings of the world, chutzpah, you want to try to bribe me with money? You want to go tell me I'm for sale? You can keep the money, but give us the neshamas. I'm not for sale here. Emichut v'yatzeroch now. He witnessed, he understands who this person is, who this family is. Oh, you understand. You understand, you know, when you go and you look at the, you interview the prospects, you can properly find the one that is fitting. Someone else has no clue. It's like what my relative says. I appreciate your wish. I have family. And my family, they're on it. They're on it. And the advantage of my family is they know me. They really know me. They know what makes me tick. So they have a greater sensitivity to what would work. Not that you're wrong. You never know. But let's first try this mahalach. It's more natural. Eliezer is the natural shatran for Yitzhak because he knows who he is. And that's a Musa Haskell. It's a Musa Haskell that when you're dealing, not only in Shidduchim, everything you're dealing with in life, you got to know what you're dealing with. It's just not fair just to get involved in things that you have really no clue. We always talk about the politics in Eretz Yisrael. Americans get involved, and even us, we sit over here in an air-conditioned room or a well-heated room in America, and we're solving all the world's problems. We don't understand these people. You don't understand the mindset of people living in Eretz Yisrael. You don't understand what the pressure they're under, the fear. Terrorism is all about the mindset of the Arabs. If you don't know who you're dealing with, it's not for you to get involved. It's not for you to comment, to go tell, oh, they should have done, should have that. You really don't get it. You don't. People think about politics, about yeshivas. In this yeshiva, they should have done that, and this yeshiva made this mistake and then made that mistake. You know what you're talking about? You have no clue what you're talking about. You have no background. You have no understanding of what's going on. And all of a sudden, you shoot from the hip, and you're coming and telling the whole world, I'm the Ribbono Shel Olam, and I know A, B, C, D, and I'm going to tell you who's right, who's wrong, and I'm going to make all the decisions in this world, all things that tzaddik was a Russia. You're a fool. Your mom is a laughing fool. You don't know, don't talk. Better keep your mouth shut and let people think you're a fool than open it and remove all doubt. This is the yisod. You got to know your customers. Okay, let's do another quick word on Shaduchim before we have to solve a little time still. Eliezer comes. Interesting Rashi. Eliezer comes and he negotiates with the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm here by the well. I'm waiting for a girl to come to the well to offer me a nice cold drink. The girl that will come and will offer me a drink and will also offer my camels a drink, this is the girl that you have selected for the son of my master, for Yitzchak. And Rashi on this pasuk tells us something very interesting. Rashi says, let me turn to the page, give me one moment. Stands by the well. Okay, v'hoya hanara, pasuk yudalid. So in Perek, where was the Chumash? Chav dalid yudalid. Let's see what Rashi over here says. Atoi chachto. Here's the Rashi. Rashi says a few words. Re'uya hi loy. This girl is fitting for loy, for Yitzchak. Shetehei goymeles chasodim, because she performs acts of kindness. Uchidai. It's a hard word to translate the word uchidai. And she's fitting he likones bebesoy shel Avraham. Two different words. She's re'uya and she's kedai. Okay, really yeshivish, right? Kedai. Re'uya and kedai. She's re'uya loy and kedai for the mishpacha. What does that mean? Two different things. So I want to suggest is that these two different expressions correspond to the two demands that Eliezer insisted would happen to be the sign. What did he demand? Let me read the pasuk again. Give me a drink. Please, I'm thirsty. Give me a drink. The Amra, she will say, yes, here's a drink. But that's not enough. The gam gimalecho ashke. It's not enough just to give you to drink. I'm going to give your camels to drink. Oh, oy soy chachta. I want to suggest ze l'uma ze. To be roy for Yitzchak, all she has to do is give me a drink. But to be roy for the besoy shel Avraham, she has to give the camels to drink. What's the pshat? A person comes. You know, you find sometimes people, and you observe, you don't really know what's really going on, but when you see marriages sometimes, there's a very good relationship between the husband and the wife. At least it seems so. Okay, you don't know anything, but yet, to the family, you don't care one bit. I love my husband. He's a great guy. I'll do anything. I'll jump off the Washington Bridge for him. But his parents, not really. I'm not on speaking terms with them. I don't want to know from them. And don't get me involved. In fact, if I have an opportunity, I'll do things that will not please them. You understand what I mean. And sometimes you find, it's bizarre, sometimes you find people, they're very good with their in-laws. They're very good with their in-laws. They love their and they love their family, they love their brother-in-law, their sister-in-law, but the actual spouse, it's a very rough marriage. You see such things in life. It's the healthy marriage was where you're on good terms with your spouse and you're on very good terms with their family. I'm by the well and the woman says to me, I want a drink. You're thirsty, you're sweating, you've traveled a long distance. Of course, here's a cold drink of water. And she stops right there. There's something very limited about this person. She sees you as a person, she sees you have a need, but is not willing to look beyond you. Well, how did you get here? What, you fell out of the sky? You came in a helicopter and someone dropped you out of the sky? If you here in front of me and you're thirsty and you're sweating, obviously you came with a group of people. You came with an entourage. You came with animals. This is the bigger picture here. It's not just you who's thirsty. How did you get here? There's a team of people that brought you here. How are they surviving? Are they okay? Do they have what to drink? Do they have a place to live? Are they okay? A woman, a person, or a spouse that doesn't just focus on you, but is willing to look beyond the individual to focus on the environment, that's the gemalim. In order for this woman to be roy for Yitzchak, she'll be a very good wife. She'll be a wonderful wife. I'm here, I'm thirsty, I'm starving. She sees a person in need, a person who's suffering, and she takes care of that person. She gives me to drink. She's ru'uya loy. She's a goymeles chesed. She does kindness with another person. If she's willing to do kindness with me, a stranger, she'll certainly be very good to her husband. Like I told you from this week from the Chaz Yonish, a person complained to the Chaz Yonish, who was dating a girl, that the girl is attached to her parents. She's the apron strings of her parents. So the Chaz Yonish says to the boy, Adarabah, a girl that's mechabed her parents will be mechabed her husband. If this girl is willing to be mechabed a stranger, give me what to drink, she'll certainly be very good to Yitzchak. She'll give Yitzchak what to drink. She'll be a wonderful wife. But that's not enough. Because my mission here as a shadchan is not just to match up Yitzchak and Rivka. It's to find a woman who will fit into the family, who will be able to continue the legacy of the Beisoy Shel Avraham. She's not just going to look at her husband. She's going to look at the institution that her husband represents. She's going to be the matriarch of that institution. It's not just you, my husband. You are coming from a whole institution. The institution of Avraham Avinu, of Klal Yisrael. There's the bigger picture. There's the Gemalim. A woman who has the insight not just to focus on me, but to look beyond into the broader picture. Oh, to the Gemalim. How I got here. And to make sure I have enough gasoline in my tank. And to make sure everything is fine and got a place to stay overnight. Oh, this is the second part of Rashi. She's kedai for the Beisoy Shel Avraham. Tzvedinim, it's a briskavar. That's Tzvedinim. There's Ruya Loy, and there is kedai le Beisoy Shel Avraham.
What about the 10 people?
Zel Uma Zel. Also, that's what it means. The Gemalim. Obviously, when it says the Gemalim, it means everyone together. That's Choy the Pshat. Yeah. The Gemalim means everyone together. It's not just you.
Avraham family.
There's Shasei, the Gam Gimalecha. The Shasei is Loy, the Gam Gimalecha is the Ganso Mishpach. They all go together. Okay, let's wind down with another Vart. She is from the family. Let's wind down one more Vart. There are many contradictions. Last Vart. There are many contradictions, many differences, nuances, the difference between the way it actually happened and the way Eliezer reported it the second time around. There are a lot of differences. When he counted all the differences, he didn't give over the story the way it really happened. It happened one way, and he changed a lot of words in many different ways. Yeah. One of the most significant differences between the two is Avraham Avinu says to Eliezer, Hashem will send a malach lifonecha, in front of you. And when Eliezer says, I'm not going to eat until I tell you my story, he tells the story and he says, my master Avram said, Hashem will send the malach itoch together with you. It's a significant difference. The malach will go in front of you versus the malach will go together with you. If we pay attention to the parasha, we learn that it was kifitzas haderech. Eliezer arrives, hayoim yotzasi, the Hayoim Basi. Rashi picks up on the nuance of expression, the word Hayoim twice. Eliezer, it was a 3-day trip at least, and a miracle happened. He arrived on the same day that he left. Kifitzas Haderech. Amazing. Either the road shrank or he got there quickly. Whatever, however you want, all the lomas of his Haderech. But there was another Kifitzas Haderech. Not a Derech to be translated literally the physical road, but your derech as in your way of life, your technique, your method. V'ho'ish mishtoimeim lo. Pasuk says that when the girl came, right away a girl appears, she gives him to drink, gives the camels, and Eliezer is in shock. V'ho'ish, this man is mish. Let me read you the pasuk. The man is v'ho'ya nara. Okay, make some negotiation over here. V'hanara. Tovas Mare, he runs to her. Okay, Pasuk 21. Vayil Kasher Kilo Gval Mishas Veichesh Nezara Mishkoloi. The Pasuk Chaf Aleph Vehoish Mishto Eila Rashi Chaf Aleph Lishon Shaoya Shak. It goes further. Mishto Eim Umisbahel Al Shiro Devoroi Koroiv LeHatzliach. I did not expect the first girl. I thought I'd go out with at least 5-10 girls before I decided to get married, right? I didn't expect it so fast. kifitza saderech. This is, it happened, this should have happened, the program, the method, the technique, it happened so quickly. There was a double kifitza, kifitzas haderech. There was a physical kifitzas haderech. He arrived from Eretz Canaan to Aram Naharayim in record time. And number two, when he arrived, and now, okay, we have a lot of work to do here. A lot of girls are lining up. We have to conduct a lot of interviews. Then we have to negotiate. We've got to figure out. We have to think and harva to which of the 1,000 girls is going to be eligible for Yitzchak. Okay, he rolls up his sleeves. It's time to get to work. It's going to take weeks. No sleeping. Derive himself from all physical pleasure. And within 3 minutes, it's over. Kefitzas haderech, what derech? Your method, your technique, your approach to succeed. A double kifitzas haderech. Eliezer, Avraham Avinu said, I'm going to send the malach lifonech. What is that for you? You're going to have kifitzas haderech. Physical. The malach will go in front of you and he'll make the road very quick. The physical road. When Eliezer came there and he saw what happened, he says, you know, my master, my Rebbe Avraham, when he told me the malach is going to go in front of me, I didn't understand what he really said. I thought it meant there's going to be kifitzas haderech. Physical. Instead of it taking 9 hours to travel, I got there 1 hour. Malachi itoch. With me, with the malach is within myself. In my approach to finding the girl when I arrive on the scene, that's where the kefitzas haderech was. In that also, he's upgrading. He's coming to recognize that the words of Avram were much deeper, much more profound than he ever imagined. He thought there's something in this world called kefitza derech you can get from A to B very quickly. But when you get to your destination B, you got to work hard. When you have siyata deshmaya, you can succeed very quickly. His success was done with kefitza haderech, the derech of your effort. Hashem is not just lifonecha. In your environment, in your physical surroundings, Hashem yishlach malochai itoch. This success in your maisa yodayim, in your effort to succeed and accomplish in record time speed. That's even a bigger bracha. This is the difference between malochai lifanecha and malochai itoch. We should all be zeh to kfir lamech. Anyways, have a wonderful Shabbos.
Heard from my granddaughter, and she actually voted in the recent election.
She's going your way.
My way, her mother's way.
Anyway, there's a lot of controversy going on. Rabbi Binder, Rabbi, somebody from Breakneck, Rabbi Adar, trying to focus on the fact that the way things happened in Pittsburgh, that the
I have the video.
It's on video. They have the gate bubble. There was no baby. There was no baby there, so I don't.
Good for them. They deserved it. They should die. They should go to Gehenna. Good for them.
But he went overboard. I know. Way overboard. Rabbi Bendy heard Rabbi Bendy say.
You know what you
said
about the Seven Devotion. You say that 6 million devotion died. Every single one of them is from.
No, of course not.
The majority weren't.
They were Jewish.
Yes. I don't mind the whole Jewish. That's because they got killed because they were Jews.
That's it.
And how can someone say otherwise?
I know. Sick in the head.
Much a Shabbos. That's a Shulam. It's from Baruch. If it's you guys, if it jumped into a van, we came to Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh. Yeah, Pittsburgh.
We can have our own tradition. Jews have 4,000 years of experience. We'll take care of our own people. And there's an Israeli who was in the background and was a rabbi in Pittsburgh.
That's not relevant.
Yeah, relevant.
Yeah, but.
Yeah, of course not.
But
they,
but they
came out with this. The doctors that were holy, they took it out to Tahara. But the doctors that the examiner had to examine, so they were able to put the
cold
actually against the house.
Zakai was there. They had the religion. Even if these people were killed, they were killed because they were Jews. Period.
Who's
going to judge? You're going to judge? Go judge. Why didn't you go try to make a car of them? Who's going to judge? You're going to go judge the people. Hashem is the judge. Hashem HaShefet. That's the end.
These guys are sick in the head. And the way he said it, he said